Well, good morning. Well, we've been looking at the book of Colossians and we've been going through the book of Colossians. And it's a wonderful book. And it's been teaching us how we continue our walk with him. It's been teaching us that we are saved and that we are forgiven and that we are to love and forgive. This is the mark of the people of God. They're not a people of hatred and lust and malice, but they're the people who forgive and love. And we come to a portion this morning that all week has been causing me problems. Have you ever had that? When you're going through a book, you can't suddenly skip some verses just because they're difficult, can you? You can't just get... And then when I saw we had visitors this morning, my problems then increased. Because then I thought, I've got this difficult passage, controversial passage. And I've been thinking as we're singing, do I change it? Do I bring something different? Or do I continue to what I believe the Lord would have us to have this morning? So I haven't got another message. He hasn't given me anything else to say, so I'm going to stick with it. And just bear with me, because it is one of those passages that causes problems. And some people get upset. You know, I heard this week that a minister in America read these verses out and most of the congregation got up and walked out. So please don't do that this morning. Please don't do that. Wait until you see what I've got. Then you might be thinking, well, John, what are these verses? What are these verses that today causes such problems? What are these verses that people struggle with? I've struggled with in how to present them this morning. Can't be ignored. Can't go round them. Can't pretend they're not there. They're not just the thoughts of Paul. These are inspired by the Holy Spirit. They're in the scriptures and they're there for us. So which ones are they? Well, it's these ones. Now you know my problem. Now you know why I think, wow, how do I do this morning? So, Matt, can you just read them for us, please?
Wives, submit to your husbands, as it is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be harsh with them.
Paul, some people say, Paul, why? But then, you see, I think if we're going to really understand that, if we're really going to see what's behind Paul's thoughts, what the Holy Spirit has inspired, we need to look at Ephesians. So, Damien, can you see it?
Yep.
Then can you read it for us, please?
Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, holy and blameless. In this way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, what I'm talking about, Christ and the church.
Okay, I think to understand what Paul writes to the church at Colossae, which is also for the church at Laodicea, we have to put it with those scriptures in Ephesians that gives us a bit more meat. It gives us a bit more understanding. Because we left it last time at Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. What I'm going to look at this morning is that Paul is looking at a man and a wife and he's seeing something beautiful. He's looking at a man and a wife and he's seeing something wonderful. The trouble is, I'm a product of the teaching of certain churches of the 70s, charismatic churches, and boy did they love wife submit to your husbands. Boy did they go to town on that. really stressed it and really laid it heavy on the wives. Do you know what? I can't recall the next bit. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. I wonder why. But this morning, I want to try to give a complete picture, a complete package. I'm not going into the practicalities of how this works out. I want to present the picture that Paul had in his mind by the Holy Spirit when he wrote these words. Because what he is saying is so profound. What he is saying is something we need to get a grip of. Because what he's saying is this: a husband and wife is a profound mystery. I'm talking about Christ and the church. That's what it's all about. That's what he is talking about when he mentions these things. And we shall look at these in a little detail. Because we have seen so far from this wonderful book, and just lately we have sort of discussed how being a follower, a believer in Jesus, how that relates to those in the world. We've seen how being a follower, a believer in Jesus, relates to those other believers. Then Paul moves and says, but it also relates to your home life. And we shall see next time your work life. You see, being a believer in Christ, being a follower of Jesus, having your sins forgiven, is not just for these wonderful times on a Sunday. It's not just for the Bible studies or the prayer groups or the home groups. What Paul is saying is the most vital place to be a follower and to be visibly seen is in your home. And that is where it's most difficult to be a follower of Jesus. There's nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to pretend. But what Paul says, and I want to show this morning, is that when you have a believing husband and a believing wife, you get a beautiful, complete picture of the gospel. Wow! You see, when we see words like submit and we go, but we need to see it in the context of what I believe Paul, by the Holy Spirit, was saying. And so we're going to look at this morning, and these verses that we've just read have caused so much hurt, so much, if you like, misunderstanding, pressures and stresses, that I haven't got something in 20 minutes that I can solve all the answers, and I'm not even going to attempt to. But what I want to show this morning is what I believe was on the heart of Paul. And what was on the heart of Paul was to show that through marriage you get a wonderful picture of how the church should relate to Christ and how Christ relates to the church. That's what he was trying to portray. And somehow, through all the words like submission and headship, we've lost it. And in the 70s, there was this thing called covering, you know, where the husband becomes responsible for the wife's spiritual life. Weird or what? So this is what Paul is getting at this morning. And it's what I would like us to see, this mystery, this profound mystery that Paul is trying to reveal what a husband and wife should show, not just to their families, but to the world. And it's something not oppressive, but something that is freedom. It's not something to be sort of go, oh, it's something to embrace. And as I try feebly this morning to try it, to show you what I believe was on the mind and heart of Paul by the Holy Spirit, I want us to get a glimpse of the beauty of how Jesus loves the church and how the church reacts and is in relationship with him. And Paul says, you know what it's like? It's like a happy married man and a wife. He said, that's what it's like. That's what it's like, this profound mystery. So I'm not going to go into the details of how this practically works out. But I do want us to sort of have a foundation, if you like, or one or two statements that I believe. And then from that, you'll understand where I'm coming from this morning. And the first statement is Paul was not against women. He wasn't anti-women. Some people read this and think he was. He wasn't. He had women co-workers. So he wasn't. And the other thing is, it doesn't also mean that if you've got an abusive, violent husband, you have to stick with him. That's not what he's saying either. But I want to say this morning, what I do believe he's saying is this beautiful picture of Jesus loving his church and how the church responds and has a relationship with him. And Paul is simply saying, that's what you can see in a husband and a wife. So let's start, shall we? Let's start this profound mystery. Let's see if we can unpack it. Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself his saviour. Paul said to the church at Corinth, I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. Now you need to understand that when we look at these scriptures in the Greek, I'm not a Greek scholar, but this is what they tell me, and the dictionaries tell me the same. The word for husband and man is the same, and the word for woman and wife is the same. And therefore, that sometimes is where people get a bit mixed up, because that verse mixed the two up, didn't it? It said, I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ, the head of a wife is her husband. It could say, and I believe should say, the head of every husband is Christ, and the head of a wife is her husband. And what is Paul saying in this? He also says, and the head of Christ is God. Who is the wife's example? Who can she see as a head who had a head? Jesus, because the Father was his head. You want to know how to relate to a husband? Look how the Son relates to the Father. If you want to know how it works out practically, look at how Jesus related to his Father. That's how wives relate to their husbands. It's look at Jesus. So Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Well. Yeah, where were you? So,
Jesus.
Thank you. Is the wife's example. She is the one that has, it's like Jesus showed the way of submission to her head because he was submitted to the Father. So all they have to do, they don't need, you know, all these, you know, with all detailed, 1, 2, 3, this. Just look at Jesus and be, and follow him. Because when you understand that Jesus had a head, that and he was equal with his Father, you're equal with a husband. Do you see how this picture is working? It's not up there and down there, it's together. Jesus was like that with his Father, but the Father was his head. And that's how I think Paul is trying to say this, that the head of the husband is Jesus, the head of the wife is her husband, the head of Jesus is God the Father, the head of the church is Jesus. So, you know, it's not something that is to put women down or wives down. Jesus, he's your example. And he said, not what I want, but what you want. Whatever I hear and see from the Father, I do. Isn't that simple when you look at it that way? The trouble is, I think, in the past, is that we have just so want to explain what being the head and what it means to, that we forgot the picture. It's meant to reveal that the wife is the symbol of the bride, and it's to give a clear example of how the church relates to Jesus. That's what she's meant to do. It's that simple. And yet we want to complicate it and we want to make man superior. Paul, in his heart, is just saying, I'm trying to show you a profound mystery. In marriage, I am talking about Christ and the church. And he wants the wife, by the way she relates to her husband, that people will look at that relationship and say, wow, that's how the church relates to Christ. Wow. So her example is?
Jesus.
Wonderful. And the other example that Paul gives, Ephesians 5:24, now as the church submits to Christ, also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. He's saying that the way the wife relates to her husband is the same way as the church relates to Christ. And that's all it's meant to show. That's the example. That's the picture. That's the illustration. not trying to say one gender is better than the other. He's just saying, as he looked, trying to explain the mystery of the church, trying to explain how it worked, trying to explain the, you know, the relationship between Christ and the church, between the groom, Jesus, and the bride, the church. How can I explain it? What picture can I use? What illustration can I use? Oh, I know what I use. How a wife relates to her husband. That will explain it, won't it? That will illustrate it, won't it? That will show people how the church relates to Jesus. Just look at a godly wife and how she relates to her husband. And you will see how the church relates to Jesus. Well, voila. In one sense, that's more of a pressure and responsibility than what some of these 70s charismatic teachers tried to make out of it. But I want to say, don't feel, oh, that's a weight, John. That's a weight. I want to say that if you are following Christ, if you are following Jesus and you confess your sins and you know that you're cleansed, you know you belong to him, you'll be loving your husband and you would be relating to your husband as the church relates to Christ without really thinking. You're walking in the Spirit. You're living in the Spirit. It is a natural way for a godly wife to live. Because it says there in Colossians 3:18, wives, submit to your husbands as it is fitting to the Lord. And boy, did I hear some stuff on that, because that word means duty. Boy, didn't some people like to say what the wife's duty was? You've got to stay at home and cook and look after your husband. You've got to make sure he's happy. You know, put your slippers on and all that kind of stuff. What's her duty? Her duty is that by the way she relates to her husband, it reveals the relationship between the church and Christ. That's her duty. And it's that simple. I'm being careful. I'm not going to tell you how to practically work. That's between you and the husband. And I'm also conscious that a lot of you are not married. And I was thinking during the week, how is this going to be relevant? How is this going to work? Because most of you are not married, who I thought was going to be here this morning. But it's the scripture that I was presented with. You see, Paul's background at the time was that women were thought of possessions and really like a piece of meat. They could be discarded at a moment's notice like a piece of rubbish. And Paul is saying, you're worth more than that. You're representing the church. You're representing his bride. So, in the 70s, husbands, I think, got an easy ride because I didn't hear much about husbands. I heard plenty about, but Paul doesn't leave husbands out. He says, husbands, love your wives. Do not be harsh with them. But you see, we need a bit more than that. How do we love wives? How and why? Well, Ephesians tells us, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So again,
Jesus
is the example to follow. So again,
Jesus
has actually gone before us and he has shown us how to treat wives. And if you want to contemplate for any length of time on how he gave himself up for the church and loves the church, no wonder a lot of preachers in the 70s didn't mention it. I do wonder about their reasons why not. Because what I've said, what a responsibility for wives to relate the relationship between the church and Christ. What about the husband? He's meant to give this profound mystery. By the way he treats his wife, by the way he loves his wife, they're meant to see how Jesus loves the church. By how he treats his wife, they're meant to see Jesus loving the church. And Jesus is our example. And therefore, what I'm trying to suggest this morning is this. Instead of just struggling with the words I like, I think we have submit, headship, covering and all the rest. That's enough, isn't it? The word love. Love your wife as Christ loved. What an instruction. What a command. What a standard! Why does Paul want husbands loving their wives as Christ loved the church? Because he wants the children, he wants the relations, he wants people to see how the church works. He wants to see that Christ loves the church, and you'll see that by a husband loving his wife. He wants to see how the church relates to Christ, and you'll see that by how the wife relates to her husband. And then we come on to, I sometimes, do you ever think, Paul, why? Another thing that Paul says, and I think, Paul, why? Why would you say this? In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Let each of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. What's Paul saying there? What's that got to do with this? What's that got to do with the mystery of the church? Well, I could say that Jesus said, you know, love your neighbour as yourself. But I think it's more than that. I think what he's getting at this, that part of loving wives as Christ loved the church is providing for her needs, is caring for her, putting her needs sometimes above your own. It's esteeming wives, putting your wife and what she needs. Because this morning, this might come to a shock, I hope it doesn't, but I washed and I brushed my teeth and you're more than glad about this. I got dressed, I put some clothes on, I'm sure you're very happy about that. But I took care of myself in such a small way. I've had my breakfast. And all Paul is saying, husbands, you look after yourselves, you dress, you eat, you wash. Same manner, you should be looking after your wives because Christ looks after the church. Because Christ loves the church. And the world needs to see Jesus loving the church. The world needs to see wives being in right relationship with their husbands, and they can see how the church relates to Jesus. And it's such a sad thing, because I do get these statistics, and I do get them, and it breaks our heart when you see that even believers' marriages, for some reason, fall apart. And then that isn't there. But you see, what marriages need is
Jesus.
Isn't that right? He's our example. He's the one we follow. Because he says, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. The mystery is profound. And what I'm saying refers to Christ and the church. So everything he said about submission, everything he said about wives and husbands, is for one purpose, and one purpose only, is to reveal this mystery. This mystery that you don't find in the Old Testament clearly, but now in the New you do. And the mystery is this: husbands and wives, believing husbands and wives, reveal the nature of the church, how Jesus loves the church. Isn't that wonderful? And maybe you've never really thought about that. That a marriage is meant to reveal this mystery of the church, of a husband and a wife. And how they work it out is between them. You know, I had a mentor when I was about 19, and he told me, I'm going to give you two words of advice about married people. One, never interfere unless asked to. And secondly, let them work out. Just let them work it out between them. You see, I know a marriage which is wonderful, and it's not mine. My marriage is wonderful, and my marriage is fantastic. What I meant was the example is not mine. I know a marriage, two godly people, lovely, absolutely lovely. And if you want to use the word submission, the wife submits to the husband. The husband is the head. But I'll tell you how they've worked it out. And she is submissive. She does all the finances. She pays all the bills. And that's how it works. And the family sees the husband loving the wife and the wife seeing him as the head. But that's how it's worked. That's why we can't give you the practicalities of how it works out. But what is important is that the husband loves the wife and the wife is in relationship with the husband, that shows the mystery of the church. Now you might be thinking, well, that's wonderful, John. John, that's great, but I ain't married. What you're saying don't say a thing to me. So, you know, we just wasted, I don't know how long it's been. But I want to say something. Because you know what? Paul, by the Holy Spirit, says to husbands that they're to love their wives as Christ loved the church. What did Jesus leave us with? Everybody. Husbands, wives, singles, widows, widowers. He said this, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. So it's not just up to the husbands to reveal the love of Christ in your own life. So if you live in your own home, in a sense you're the head of that home, love everybody that comes into that home. Show them the love of Christ. Show your relations the love of Christ. You see, we've all got this responsibility on us to reveal the love of Christ. Love one another as I have loved you. And that's not just for the husband. That's for the wife. That's for the singleton. That's for the widow. That's for the widower. That's for anyone who says they're a follower of Christ. Anyone who says they're cleansed and forgiven and has the Holy Spirit within them and they're born again. We all have this new commandment to love one another as I have loved you. Because this mystery needs to be revealed. You know, there was a king. And sometimes people think the Bible doesn't really portray women in their favour. It does, if you want to read it correctly. You know, my daughter got married, and she got married in one of these hotels. And I was told, you can't mention God. You can't pray. You can't do anything religious. So I was a bit naughty. I hope I was forgiven for this. Those who were believers thought it was wonderful because they knew who I was. I said, can I give you what a king said? Can I share with you what a king said? This famous king said these words. An accomplished wife who can find. Her value is beyond rubies. Her husband heart trusts in her and he lacks nothing valuable. She brings him good and not harm all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax, and her hands work willingly. She is like merchant ships, and it goes on. It's in Psalm 31. 31, the 10 to 31, read it. It's beautiful. Because there you've got a wife who works, looks after children. No wonder Solomon said, you know, who can find such a wife? I want to tell you, a believer in Christ, who is rightly related to her husband, and the husband loves her as Christ loved the church, is a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing. But it's not an easy thing. You know, and as I've looked at it this week, you know, I've sort of asked myself, if, and I haven't had the courage to ask the question, because I'm not sure what the answer would be, but if I asked Jill, that's my wife, do you think I love you as Jesus loves the church? I think she'd probably say yes. That's not the one I've got the lack of confidence with. It's my children. Do the children. Because I've got a son who's 30, lives with us. If I asked him, would he see that I love his mum as Jesus loves the church? That's been the thing on my heart this week. Jill, she'll say, yeah, of course he does. Of course you do. Of course you do. And if Jill asked me, do you think I'm related to you as the church? I would say, yeah, you do. She's wonderful. But then if I ask Tom, not so sure. You see? Paul wants this mystery seen in our families. Paul wants this mystery seen with our relations. Paul wants this mystery not just confined to these four walls. He wants this mystery seen in how we live our lives day in and day out, where we think nobody else sees, but my son sees, Jill sees, and he sees. You see, Paul did not want to teach for there to be arrogant husbands and downtrodden wives. That wasn't his plan. It wasn't the Holy Spirit's idea. But a marriage of oneness that illustrates the church that he loves and gave himself for. Amen.
John,
yeah?
Could you just correct the fact that it wasn't Psalm 31, it was Proverbs 31?
Thank you. It was Proverbs 31. Thank you. Thank you.